Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's good to be with you today. And yes, it is a day of justice. There's no doubt about it. Even on this day, a new Supreme Court justice will be nominated by the President of the United States at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And we're going to be tuning in, listening to who the President is nominating for the Supreme Court as a justice in the United States of America. So today is a really big day as far as, decisions like these being made, because we know, we believe, we hope that the next Supreme Court justice that is put on the bench will wield the sword of righteousness and overthrow the laws of the evil one that have been promoted in this country for over 40 years now, and the process of restoring the righteous government of God would be witnessed. That's what we're hoping for. That's what we are believing for. And so we're excited about that today. So again, tonight at 8 o'clock, if you're in this area in the Central Standard Time, make sure that you see who the president has picked. Who do you think it is? That's the big question that everybody has in mind, and there are a lot of people in this country that are very excited about this opportunity, this moment that does exist. And so let's be hoping well for some good results in spite of what backlash may come, what things may be said. There's a very real world that we live in, and we are so secure in the world that we live in right now here in the United States. Last night, for whatever reason, Patricia and I were laying down and we're taking a rest, and there was a program on, and it was called The 13 Hours, I think it was. It was all about the Benghazi story, and it was based upon a true story, and most of us have heard about Benghazi, and most of us have a simple understanding that what happened at Benghazi is that the Clinton, Secretary of State Clinton, ignored the calls. America, for some reason, just ignored the calls for help that was coming from Libya in Benghazi. And that's when Gaddafi was the leader of Libya. And the calls for help went unheard. And so there was a big battle, a fight, and some soldiers were killed. And I was looking at this story, and then immediately I remembered something in my mind, and this is around 9:30 at night, that I left at the church. And so I thought, oh my gosh, I better go back there and get that. And so I went back to the church, and as I'm driving, after watching that movie of the intense action of the warfare that was going on in Zombieland and all these different places in the Benghazi compound, you know, I'm driving down the road and I'm expecting to see some, you know, radical Islamic terrorists coming at me from the left and right. And, you know, it just didn't happen. And, you know, it's just like, wow, there's a lot of peace here. We hope that there's real peace. We know that there are demonstrations and protests going on in different parts of our country. But I just for a moment want to talk about some of the events that are taking place around the world that may help you and I to realize that maybe things are not as bad as they seem. There were four gruesome stories this week that were coming out of the Islamic world. And I want to begin with just talking about Christians brutally attacked during a Bible study. A Muslim mob reportedly attacked Christians participating in a Bible study at a migrant camp in Greece. Some 30 to 40 people threatened the Christians with knives and beat the men, leaving two of them hospitalized. The Christians are now living away from the camp for their own safety. So Christians are no longer, you know, in Greece, allowed to stay in the camp. The next bit of information was Hezbollah tortures a mother and daughter. There's a disturbing video that emerged of what appear to be Hezbollah fighters torturing a mother and daughter, both refugees in Syria. All right, that's a bad deal. And then ISIS kills a family returning from a wedding. ISIS gunmen killed seven members of a family as they returned home from a wedding in Iraq. The terrorists separated the men from the women and children and killed the adult males on the spot in full view of their family members. Sounds like ISIS to me. Iranian intelligence kills Sunni preacher. Gunmen killed Sunni preacher Abed El Shakur Kard outside a mosque in Kash, Iran. Some locals said Iranian intelligence was behind this attack. Kard was very popular and came from a family of well-known imams. And I read those stories simply to show that around the world there is unrest. And especially with radical Islamic terrorism, it is still a very real threat, not because the news media says it is, but because the word of God calls Ishmael the wild man, whose hand is against every man's hand and every man's hand is against him, and that God will employ this wild man whenever he chooses to do so to bring this justice and judgment around the world. And unfortunately, you know, these beautiful Christian people that are not the ones that are creating the trouble are being murdered, being tortured, and all the other bad things that are happening. I guess we should be glad today when we get up and we'll go down the street. For the most part, we don't have these kinds of troubles, although we do have the isolated incidents of school shootings and all these different things that we've talked about for a long time. There's still unrest in the world. And the reason for the unrest is that the government of God is not yet in place. And the government of God must come into place. And how many of you believe out there today that God has a government that is alive and well? There is a government that is alive and well. And I want to talk about that government here in just a little bit. But just a quick story coming out from Breitbart News today. Part of the problems we're facing is we have all kinds of activities, no walls, no borders. Open border activists vandalized New York Department of Homeland Security offices. So the Department of Homeland Security, Albany, New York office was vandalized by open borders protesters who demand that all immigration and border enforcement be ended across the United States. So the exclusive photos obtained by Breitbart News reveal the damage done to the DHS Albany office in the midst of protests last week, where open border activists called for the end of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, agency. ICE is tasked with enforcing immigration law in the interior of the U.S. Any move to abolish ICE, as Breitbart News noted, would have resulted in at least 1.6 million illegal aliens being released into the American public over the last 5 years. So if there's no ICE, there's 1.6 million illegal aliens. The open border protesters vandalized the building with sayings like no walls, no borders, and close every concentration camp. Again, getting back to the Nazi fascist accusation that the president of the United States is a Führer. He's likened to Adolf Hitler. All of his followers are Nazis. And now, of course, there are concentration camps. So they're comparing the federal detainment of illegal aliens to Adolf Hitler's concentration camps during World War II. So, again, this is the unrest. We know that we live in a provocative time. Can someone say, yes, I get that? So we live in this age of provocation. And tonight, I believe you're going to see the beginning of another wave of provocation because of the nominee. And that's okay. You know, you can't just be held hostage. You have to stand up and do something. And as I said, I believe there's fire in Donald J. Trump, and I believe he's like a locomotive. And you get on the tracks, you're going to get run over. There's no doubt about it. So we need to pray, though, because I guarantee you this, that witchcraft around the world is being concentrated against the United States of America right now, particularly against Donald J. Trump, the White House, this administration, and all of the followers of those who want to see righteousness prevail in the land. So, saints of God, I can only say it this way. You better arm up and put the full armor of God on your life, because the spiritual warfare is about to go to another level. And we've been through spiritual warfare, and I'm sure you have too, where it gets very intense and you wonder, how in the heck are we ever going to get through this? And that deep spiritual demonic attack against the soul to bring oppression and bondage and brokenness and, you know, all these, you know, attempts of the devil to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Well, unless you know the word of God, you're equipped, your sword is sharp, in other words. Unless you have a very sharp two-edged sword in your hand, which is the only weapon that God has given to the Christians, as we put on the helmet of salvation, which is the mind of Christ, the breastplate of righteousness, which is the righteousness of Christ, the belt buckle of truth, which is the truth of Christ, our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the peace of Christ, and the shield of faith to quench all those fiery darts of the enemy, the faith of Christ, and in our right hand, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Christ. And so everything is Christ, Christ above, Christ for me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ. And we must put on, according to Romans 13, Christ, put on Christ. Put on the anointing, put on the armor. You have not your own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ is your breastplate. My God, put on his righteousness. Make a declaration. Tell yourself again and again, I am not saved by my righteousness. I am saved by his righteousness, and I confess him. And believe me when I tell you, the devil wants you to get to a place of despair where you will stop believing in Jesus. But the moment you would do that, you would have no righteousness to protect you from the onslaught of the enemy that would accuse you, slander you, and do everything in his power to take you down. So again, put on this armor. Stand. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. That's your helmet, to protect your mind from the thoughts of the devil that would try to bring you into a state of confusion or deception or whatever it is that he would try to do to your mind. You put on Christ, and that word of Christ, the mind of Christ, is the word of God. Keep that in mind. Your righteousness is not of yourself. It's from him. It's been given to you and I. Put that on. So when the devil comes to accuse you, just declare the righteousness of Christ and then do what is right. And if you don't confess it, get the blood cleansing. Now, truth, that is a commodity that's more precious than anything in the world right now. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Put on truth. In the last days, the devil will deceive the whole world. So through the mind of Christ, through the revelation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, through the truth of Christ, you will be able to stand against the deception, the lies, the trickery of the devil. And then, of course, your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace everywhere you go. Now, peace is not weak. You read Romans chapter 16, and Paul writes, "The God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet. The God of peace shall shortly crush Satan under your feet." So that gospel that you're walking in, that gospel of peace between you and the Father, the harmony that's been afforded between you and the Father, that is a gospel of peace. You tread everywhere you go. You will crush the works of the devil. That's why Jesus said in 10, I believe it is, that you shall tread upon scorpions and serpents. The church has been given the spiritual mandate, right, and privilege to tread upon all the work of the devil. Nothing by any means will hurt you, but this is warfare. Can't just think it's going to happen. This is purposeful intent on our part to move forward, to take the kingdom to the gates. We're advancing the cause of Christ. We're not advancing our own cause. We're not advancing our political persuasion. Our job as Christian men and women is to advance the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it hasn't been moving much lately within our generation, but a great movement of the kingdom is about to happen. And the enemy is getting unnerved. And he's not just going to lay down and get out of the way. He's going to enforce and reinforce himself. He's going to rise with a fury to try to defend the territory that he's taken. But God is ready to express himself to push back and take over some of that lost ground. This is the spiritual battle for the kingdom. We're not talking politics. We're not talking about American government. We're talking about the kingdom of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We have to be thus minded. And of course, the sword of the Spirit, man. Make sure you are in the Word. It's wet, it's dripping, it's oiled, it's sharp. It could cut both ways. And go and slay some dragons, man. Slay some giants. Face your lions and deal with the issues. Get it right. You're a Christian. You're born again. You have eternal life. Your momentary problems are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in you. Count it all joy. Rise up. Get it right. Shake off the dust. You know what it is. It's Monday morning. We've got a whole week ahead of us here. So let's get it right. But we're in a very real battle. Now, listen, the witchcraft that is coming from the highest echelons of the satanic regime in the heavenly realms, okay? There is a second heaven wherein dwelleth the kingdom of Satan, the invisible forces of darkness. They're coming to planet Earth very soon because there's a war going on. Do you sense the war in the heavenlies? The sign showed up on September 23rd, 2017, Revelation 12. That war in the heavenlies is what we're all feeling, if we understand it or not. And soon, the devil's going to be dethroned. And every time we put a justice of righteousness up, you know, when God's kingdom moves up, the devil's coming down. And so the devil will be coming down to this earth, and the revelation, this warfare is going to intensify. But if you're a skilled warrior, no reason to fear. Just get you know how to use your weapon. You know, it's one thing to have a weapon. It's another thing to know how to use a weapon and be skilled with it. And the weapon of your warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You're going to have to know how to bind a demon, rebuke a demon, cast a demon out. You're going to have to know how to put people in frozen positions, put blindness on their eyes so that they can't do any harm. Paul the Apostle put blindness. Remember? He said, thou shalt be blind and to the sorcerer. And so there's a power that's coming to the church. There's a governmental power that has been missing in our generation. And that governmental power is an equipping to be able to do things that most people could never believe would be done. It's only in the superhero TV programs, right? No, the church is going to be super empowered to do the mighty works of God. There's no doubt in my mind that this is the truth. This is what we've been talking about. So when the witchcraft spells come, when the witchcraft curses come, what they're trying to do is get the Christian wobbling and off mark so they're more focused on what's going on in their lives so that they'll forget to pray for the important things that need to be prayed for. And then when the church does pray, the counterattack of the devil is to try to undo those prayers to get the church into unbelief. And this is all part of where we are. It's time to grow up, saints, because this is going to another level. And just as ISIS could care less about killing your children, your wives, your husbands, they don't care about who you are, what you are. The devil wants to take you out if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And if you possess any influence whatsoever to advance the cause of Christ, you're a target of the enemy. But that's okay, because the enemy is your target to fire your weapons and to bring a release of the divine power of God to bear upon them, to show them who's got the authority. It's come to that moment. We've got to stop pretending. We can't be Clark Kent anymore. Superman's got to come out. It is time for a revelation of the authority of God. In fact, I want to read to you something that I think is absolutely amazing. I haven't seen or read the whole article, but I believe it's consistent with what we have been talking about for some time, and I want to put it out there. This comes from Z3 News, and here is the title. Tell me that this is not a connection to what we've been saying. You have entered the season of the greatest demonstration of the power of God to redeem and restore. Well, over the past week, the Lord has been speaking to me about redemption and restoration, this author said. The Lord showed me so many that are still waiting for circumstances and situations of the past and present to be redeemed and restored. There is a great wind of acceleration. Does that sound familiar? There is a great wind of acceleration that is blowing, but it is gaining momentum, and these winds are blowing on circumstances and situations to bring about the greatest level of redemption and restoration by the hand of God that you have seen. So what have we been hearing lately? It's the first time I'm reading this article, that God is about to blow in. He's about to express. He's about to blow wind into the ecclesia so that there could be an advancement and an expansion of his kingdom. Now, this article is saying that these winds, there it is, the breath of God, is about to cause the greatest level of redemption and restoration by the hand of God that you've ever seen. I felt the Lord wanted me to release this prophetic word and decree over you today. If you are still in the waiting for redemption and restoration of situations and circumstances, and here it is, you have entered the season of the greatest demonstration of the power of God to redeem and restore. Now, remember, I don't know if they're going to bring this up or not, but remember in Isaiah 9:6-7, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. The word increase means the prosperity. It means the greatness, the abundance. All right, so the greatness is coming. So this article continues, there is an accelerated, there's that word again, there is an accelerated birthing taking place right now, where not only are you going to see the redemption and restoration of God for past circumstances and situations, but you are going to see the increase of God. I feel his heart so strongly that the Lord wants to reveal his heart of goodness to restore and to redeem and make all things new. I could hear the words booming. It's all new. It's all new. I make all things new. Do you remember the past events? Pay no attention to the things of old. Look, I am about to do something new. Even now is it coming. Do you not see it? That's Isaiah 43:18-19. Many of you have walked through situations where things haven't gone as you thought or as you believed for. And those areas are still areas of pain, trauma, and disappointment. The Lord showed me that you have stepped into a new season of seeing things rapidly redeemed. You are going to see some of the most impossible circumstances suddenly redeemed, suddenly restored. You know what I love about this particular part of the word is if you try to fix it yourself, you're going to mess it up. And some of the people that are in this position, the broken ones, that God's going to be gathering together like the fragments, and he's going to put into 12 baskets representing his divine government. Some of you this weekend maybe know what I'm talking about. But the thing is that God's going to do this. It's a rapid redemption coming from the Spirit of God, which means it's going to work out together for good. For all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So the Lord's eyes are on trauma. The Lord's eyes are on trauma. The Lord is looking at hearts that have been traumatized, and he has been orchestrating incredible moments that have begun to be stepped into and will radically continue where the Lord is going to heal trauma. The Lord spoke to me recently and said, "There are many of my children living with traumatized hearts. I came to bring life and life abundantly. I am setting the stage for the greatest wave of healing of trauma in the body of Christ that has ever been seen. The trauma that has weighed so many of my children down for so long is now being rapidly healed. I am breaking the chains of trauma. I am breaking the chains of the expectation of trauma from my people. Many of my people have experienced so much trauma in their lives that they have come to expect trauma. There is such significant healing taking place right now that is not only going to bring significant freedom to my people, but shift expectations. Faith is rising again. Trauma will no longer hold my people back, but there will be such significant increase in the expectation and faith. It's time to believe again. Again, this is a word from the author whose name is Lana Vassar. And she continues, the Lord showed me he has set up divine setups for his people in this season where there will be rapid restoration, redemption, and healing of circumstances and situations of the past. The Lord is going to show himself so strong on your behalf. The Lord is going to show himself as the redeemer and helper. And then I felt the Lord say, it's a completely new beginning. He is leading many of his people into significant accelerated breakthroughs of major restoration, redemption, and increase. What he is leading you into is going to be so much better than you can imagine. He is restoring to you, but more than you can imagine. I could hear his whisper. You cannot even imagine the level of redemption and restoration that I am bringing into your life, circumstances, and situations. You are going to be overwhelmed by my goodness, my power, and my kindness as the redemption, restoration, and recompense manifests. This is your time now. This is the season now. Activate your faith. Pray the big prayers. Ask me for the impossible places to be redeemed and restored. Because what I have planned and am releasing is bigger than your greatest request of restoration and redemption. Then I heard the Lord say, things are going to be amazingly different this time. Things will not be the same or stay the same. So there is great redemptive change upon many. Do not fear. Be encouraged. Rejoice. For the winds of change are blowing so strong and will continue to increase in intensity. You will see this time as you enter onto similar pathways you have walked before, things are going to be amazingly different. As you walk down similar pathways, the breakthrough of the Lord and the power of his redemption and restoration are going to not only heal your heart, but fill you with great joy as you see the breakthrough and increase of God. Things will not be the same or stay the same. You are entering that completely new place of increase, fruitfulness, and rest. Many of you are about to come to such a deep place of heart. Rest in the redemption and restoration of God. It's a new season, and God is not only redeeming and restoring in the most incredible ways, but these powerful moves of his Spirit bringing forth redemption and restoration are leading you into a season of incredible joy and rest in him, in his goodness and love. Where many of you have experienced seasons of joy being stolen over and over and over and over, now you have entered into a new season where the move of his Spirit and the way he is revealing and going to reveal himself to you in the accelerated breakthrough and redemptions, you will experience wave after wave of joy upon joy upon joy. You no longer will know the seasons of joy being stolen over and over and over, but now you will know the deep joy we find in our beautiful Jesus and knowing him and watching the power of his Spirit manifest in explosive demonstrations of his redemptive power. The enemy has fought many of you so hard to steal your joy because the Lord's decree is a season of unprecedented joy upon you. You have entered and are entering into a season of unprecedented joy. The rivers of joy are rising. Your intimacy with Jesus is about to radically change and go deeper than it has ever been. And you are about to know him like you have never known him before. Traumas and fears that have hindered your intimacy are being healed and broken, and a completely new season of refreshing joy in knowing him and watching his move is bursting forth. Now that, my dear friends, is a message that is complementary to what God is doing in his people. Now we have to separate. This is not for the world. Listen to me. This is not for the world, and it is not for the lukewarm, compromising, backslidden, and apostate church who love the world more than the things of God, who are not willing to pay the price and suffer for the cause of Christ. Okay. This is for those men and women of God who have felt broken. You saw it, traumatized, and everything else. We're talking about the fragments in John chapter 6, the leftovers, the broken pieces that Jesus gathered together into 12 baskets representing the divine government. He's going to take all the broken people who have had hardships, many, but have remained faithful to the Lord, and he's going to endow them with governmental power. And I'm telling you that the miracles that we have read about in the Bible are not only going to be doubled, but duplicated. So we will see a duplication of the miraculous signs and wonders that the Bible tells us about, but they will be double portioned in their power and their influence. And that, dear friends, is a prophetic third day reality that cannot be denied. So praise the living God for these types of prophetic words that we're hearing about. Now, I want to go into the Word for a bit. I've got a couple of more articles I wanted to read, but I just feel like we need to get here. I want to go to Genesis chapter 1 this morning. Genesis chapter 1. And by the way, let's just selah what we just heard. I wonder, did you hear anything in that prophetic word that stirred life in you? Was there a spiritual impartation into your soul, into your spirit in the last 30 minutes? Has there been an impartation? I need to know that. I need to know that you were not just hearing me read and there was nothing to it, just knowledge. Was there in the last 30 minutes when you heard that word, a wow, or yeah, or faith stirred? Was there hope come alive? Was there an impartation to your life that you have heard in the last few minutes? And if so, would you be willing to just give us a call at 818-369-0326, press 1 on your dial pad, and let me know? Did what you have heard thus far stir life, faith, hope, strength, awakening, quickening? The number to call is 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326, and then press 1 on your dial pad. And I'll make sure that I get to the screen here and check it out in just a moment, but I'd like to know, was there impartation? Did that prophetic word that I just read from Lana Vassar, and coupled with what we've been talking about for quite some time, was there impartation? Was there quickening? Was there life in your spirit? This is what we need to know. Now, in shifting just a little bit, what I'd like to do is go to Genesis chapter 1, and I want to read verses 1 through 5, and I want to have a little Bible study here, and we're going to move into how things are really working, the nuts and bolts of what's happening in our world today. It says in Genesis 1:1, someone say it with me, in the beginning. Praise God. You want to know the end? You look at the beginning, right? The end of the matter is revealed at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, that's where we want to start, right there. And that's where we want to launch into some Hebrew thinking, okay? So the word beginning, in the beginning, is in the reshith. That's the Hebrew, the reshith. In the first, okay, in place or time and order or rank, the first fruits, the beginning, the principal thing, okay, that's all rashith or reshith. So in the beginning, God, and we know that here the word God is Elohim, and it literally talks about a plural or a plurality, okay? So the Elohim, literally God's plural in the ordinary sense, but specifically used for and of the supreme God. So we're talking here about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the Elohim, if you will. And that's where I'm thinking this God is, this part of the word God, the Elohim. So in the Reshit, Elohim created. And you got to love this word created. It's bara or bara. You could say it any way you want to. And the word to create simply means to cut down wood and then to shape it, all right, to cut down, to dispatch, to make fat. But there's another word here that is meaning to carve out or to shape. And the other word for created is, with that one, oth. Oth. And it's simply something that is made by cutting down and shaping. And so in the beginning, okay, in the Reshith, Elohim created. He bara, okay, he created, he transformed new conditions and circumstances, okay? He shaped, he fashioned all of these things. What did he create? Well, it says he created the heaven and the earth. The heaven is Shamayim, Shamayim. So he fashioned, he shaped, he created the heaven, the Shamayim, which is, in our understanding, is something that's lofty, the sky, as well as to the higher ether where the celestial bodies revolve, the astrologer, the heavens. And that's the primary word there. He bara the Shamayim and the earth, which is the Eretz. And the Eretz is the earth. Common country, field, ground, land, wilderness, world. So God created, he bara, the Shamayim and the Eretz. Okay, so we have that in verse 1. I'm going somewhere with this, so don't give up on me. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and the earth, or the Eretz, was without form. Okay, without form. That is the word, that little phrase there, without form, is tohu. A very familiar word at New Y Ministries. We've talked about this for some time now. So the Eretz was tohu. It was without form. In other words, but listen to the meaning of this word, tohu. Formless, confusion, nothingness, wasteland, empty. But listen to this. Chaos, a place of chaos, desolation, worthless. Okay? So when you think about the Eretz being confused and being worthless and full of chaos, you have a situation here. Confusion and chaos are not the way of God. That there's something very wrong with that definition. Tohu. But it wasn't only tohu. The Eretz was tohu and void, or bohu. So we have tohu, and when we have bohu, stands for void. The word bohu actually means vacuity, an undistinguishable ruin, emptiness. Imagine that, an undistinguishable ruin. So the Eretz, the earth, was tohu and bohu. Chaos, confusion, emptiness, vain, undistinguishable ruin. It sounds like something really bad happened, doesn't it? I mean, to a degree. Well, back to Genesis 1:2. The Eretz was tohu and bohu, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The word darkness is koshek, koshek. And again, this shows the demonic. It means obscurity, misery. Listen, this is the figurative Hebraic language for darkness. It's not just without light. It is literally and figuratively misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness. Let me say it again. Tohu and bohu and darkness. Again, misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness. Was where? It was upon the face of the deep. So the spiritual reality to the earth was ruined, it was wrecked, it was tohu and bohu. And the darkness that was upon the face of the deep was this death, this everything we just talked about. And then we're told, so you gotta get a condition. And when I preach this, I tell the congregation, wherever it is, and I always look at myself first and say, listen, how many of us have been in tohu and bohu? How about the whole human race that fell to sin when Tohu and Bohu came upon us? And darkness was upon the face of our deep, if you will. And there was confusion and misery and pain and trauma. We just read about that. And so at the very beginning of time where God's talking about the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the Shamayim, the heavens, and he's talking about this condition of misery and torment and fear and death and calamity, destruction and wilderness and ruin. I mean, that's not good. But many of us come to the Lord in that very same manner. Can someone say amen? Well, the deep... It says in verse 2, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And now in that condition, in verse 3, what happens? And God said, now watch this. God said, let there be light. And that word light is Ohr. Ohr. And that word means illumination. Watch this now. Illumination, luminary, in every sense, including happiness. Happiness, bright, clear, daylight, morning, sun. Oh, joy comes in the morning. Darkness may last for the night. Sorrow may last for the night. Listen, the night, he separated the day from the night, the darkness from the light. The darkness is misery and all those horrible definitions, but the light brings illumination and happiness and brightness and clarity and the morning sun, the rising of a new day. This has been the reality in creation for 6,000 years. Seasons of darkness come upon the nations of the earth, and then God sends a beam of light. But it was 2,000 years ago that God sent the light of the world into this earth, in the Middle East, in Jerusalem, Israel, in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And so there was darkness over the whole earth, but the light shined to the ends of the earth. And so we want to go back to the beginning of creation, and we look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the light, was the life, and the life was the light of men. And that life was in happiness, it was in joy, it was in cheer and brightness. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, could not figure it out. And so it gets on into the story about who this light is. And that light of the world is Jesus Christ. And he lighteth every man that comes into the world, right? So in the very beginning in Genesis, we have God saying, God said, that's word. That word is Christ. And so Jesus, the Christ that was on this earth, the whole world was created by him, but the world didn't recognize him. And he is the light of the world, and the beams and the rays of his glory shine into the hearts of men. Now, there are people that still are darkened because the God of this world has blinded their minds from the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel has not yet shined in their hearts. But when the true light of the true Christ shines in the heart, it produces a life of clarity and brightness and happiness and joy and peace and love and all the great things that God has. And I do not believe that God has emptied himself out of his ability to shine in the darkness. As a matter of fact, I believe he's going to shine brighter at the end of the ages than he's ever shined before. In fact, the prophet Isaiah said that he will shine in the brightness of seven suns. Can you imagine the brightness of seven suns? I mean, that's S-U-N-S. I mean, my goodness, how bright is that? And you know, this is the light that gets into our heart that produces a life, and the misery, the darkness, the death, in the confusion and the chaos. And we're seeing it on all over the world right now. And God is setting up to birth forth light. But listen, he shined through his son, one singular man, 2,000 years ago. And his light still is shining to the ends of the earth, but that light is in you. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And God is about to release glorious light from within his ecclesia and the many-membered body of Christ all over the world. Can you imagine an effulgencing or an outraying or a putting on display the light, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory? On the seventh day, Jesus took three disciples to the mount. And at the top of the mount, he was transfigured before them. That word transfigure means to put on display, to outray, to effulgence, to manifest forth the glory. And the light that was in him was so bright that they didn't know what to do with it. It was brighter than any fuller's soap. And there he was transfiguring all the glory. The light that was in him was the glory. And then he says, this glory is going to be in you. And if the Spirit of God is in you, if Christ is in you, then the same light of glory is dwelling in you. It's the power of glory to do the magnificent things that God wants to get done in the earth. But we haven't had a transfiguration because we haven't been properly configured. We have had a wrong configuration. So God is bringing apostolic reformation to bring a reconfiguration to the present configuration so that we could have a transfiguration to outray and put on display the glory of the living God. Try to say that twice fast, right? Well, no. This is what's really ready to happen. And we've got to awaken to this reality that it's not just something coming from the ethereal heavens upon us. It is Christ exploding from within us, the church, the many sons of glory. The firstborn son was in the world. He's bringing many sons to glorification. And when that glory is complete and we become the huios, the mature sons and daughters of God, and no longer the technon, little children, the light and the glory within us will outray and it will shine to the ends of the earth. Yes, there's an explosion of light that's coming from within the ecclesia, the church, the body of Christ. And man, is that going to shake the world, huh? I believe my doctrine is correct if I read the Bible. And I go on to Colossians chapter 1, for example, and I just think this is absolutely amazing. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, you got to love this verse. And what it tells us in Colossians 1, 10, okay, where are you? Oh, Colossians, you can't be in Colossians 1 if you're going to be in Colossians 2. So there it is. Colossians 1, 13 says this. Who has delivered us, listen, this is for you. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness. You know that darkness back in Genesis chapter 1? That death, that misery, that chaos. I mean, all of that stuff. There's a power to darkness. So, but Jesus, I have to go back a little bit to verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church. So we know he's talking about Jesus, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Things he, Jesus Christ, might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Wow, do you understand the depths of what's being said here? The darkness has never overcome the light, but the darkness has existed at epochs, millennia, centuries, at different times, in ages. Because this is the ongoing battle. Now, Jesus got the victory 2,000 years ago, and he gave the legal mandate to the church to exercise and execute the judgment that's already been written against the powers of darkness. But in our generation, this ongoing battle, all we have seen is the advancement and the growing of darkness that's promoted much misery and chaos and death and confusion. That's what's in our world. But God's ready to shine again. Now, Is this the moment of the second coming of Jesus Christ as the light of the world that will light every one of his people? And there'll be an outray and a display. I mean, can you imagine the explosion of light coming from heaven when the Lord returns? Or is this a moment before the greatest tribulation ever hits the earth? And the reason why I don't believe this is the time of the second coming, it may be, and we should be preparing as though it is and living as though it is, but I don't think so, because we haven't reached yet that ultimate reality of the demonic, that there are two things that must happen before Jesus could return: a great falling away and the man of sin revealed, the Antichrist, which will begin the greatest tribulation that the world has ever known for 3.5 years. I don't think we've reached that point yet. So what God is about to do in the shining of this light is in the ecclesia is that he's about to allow this to happen to advance his kingdom, because there's no end to his government and peace. In other words, we're getting ready to be empowered by God to be a government of God on this earth to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ, which is the church's original mandate. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God begins as leaven, but it eventually leavens the whole universe. The kingdom of God is coming. It never decreases, never ends. It's always abundant, and it's always full of greatness. That's what it actually means, and it's always increase. So you're living at a time when darkness is prevailing, that you're about to shine as light in this world. I mean, I think that's absolutely amazing. This makes our Christian walk more of a primary thing in our life than anything else we could do. You could have the greatest job in the world and have no light shining. You could have all the money in the world and have no light shining. Look at George Soros. You could have everything the world could offer you and be empty and void of the light and the glory of what God's about to do in the purpose and plan of his will. And do you know, as a light bearer, you are part of the purpose and plan of God for this generation? He wants to outray. He wants to transfigure. But there's got to be a reconfiguration of the present configuration. There has to be. And I believe that reconfiguration comes from apostolic doctrine. Remember in the book of Acts, the church was feeding on the apostles' doctrine. Where is the apostles' doctrine? Well, the church has been very confused with 3,000 different denominations, hundreds of different theological universities. I mean, doctrines that are so wild, and yet there's one truth. And there are deep things that many people don't understand that are true, but because they don't understand them, they think they're false. You know, all that stuff goes on. We read that in Peter, that many things that Paul taught were hard to understand, and people wrestled with them even to their own destruction. But there is a truth that we have got to wrap our hearts and minds around. And this is the moment. We have done what God told us to do. We have prepared. We've gotten our arcs in order to a degree. We are ready. We've got that issue dealt with, okay? And if there's more to prepare, then keep on preparing. But there's also a moment of revelation, understanding. There's a moment where an aha is going to come, where light is going to shine, and people in darkness are going to have an opportunity to come out of the darkness before everything shuts down. And then we go into the chamber, shut the door, get into the ark. That time is coming. It has to come. The provocations that are going on in the world, I'm telling you, it's going to rise into a battle, in the battle in the heavens between the angels of God and the angels of Satan. That battle's very real, and it's affecting things on earth, and it's coming to earth, comes to earth. Man, it's a whole different ballgame. But right now, we need to see the light shine, and in the very beginning, God shines his light in the midst of the darkness. And he's about to do it again tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern time. A new Supreme Court justice is going to be selected by a man who is on fire, who is like a locomotive. Do not get in his way. He will knock you down. And at the same time, the strategies of the enemy to try to trip up the tracks, you know, strategies, demonic raging strategies. Donald Trump is doing, whether you like the man or not, whether you believe he's the Antichrist or not, he's not, because he's actually fighting, and the world is angry who are under the satanic spirit who promote the laws of Antichrist. So if when the people that promote the laws of Antichrist are angry at a man who's promoting righteousness, well, you just got to separate that out and say, okay, I believe God's using this man. I do. I believe that God is doing something, but I believe the church needs to view what's happening horizontally, keep our eyes vertical on the King of Glory, Jesus Christ, the only one we want to follow, but to understand that this is a moment that God's ready to do something and we need to get involved in it. Isn't that what it's all about? I've got a few minutes left in the broadcast. The number to call, 818-369-0326. If you have a question or comment about anything that you heard today, we would love to hear from you. Again, the number, 818-369-0326. And if you're already on the line, just press 1 on your dial pad. We'd love to hear from you. What is God saying to you this morning on Monday morning? Is there an impartation? Is there a quickening? Is there a stirring? Is there a humble gratefulness for what you heard today, the Word of God? Is it a blessing to you? Are you able to just say, man, you know, I felt stirred up in my heart. I felt good. Or was it just dead word going into your mind and it's just knowledge, epignosis? Or was there spiritual revelation and impartation by the Holy Spirit to quicken something in you to make your day a better day and your future look a little bit brighter? Come on. Give us a shout. We've got 5 minutes left in the program. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. And all you need to do is press 1 on your dial pad. All right. Well, what we'll do at 9:55 a.m. is we're just going to keep waiting for a little bit. This is going to be an amazing week. A lot is going to change tonight. And by the way, God, those little boys in Taiwan are getting delivered. They're getting saved. I know our church prayed yesterday and we prayed for them. We prayed the president would make a great decision. We believe that a lot of witchcraft went out into the atmosphere to try to confuse and darken the choices. But we're just going to pray right now for the glorious light of Jesus Christ to shine and expose the darkness and break the powers of the witchcraft that has gone forth to bring confusion in the realms of where God is laboring, even in your own life, because God's working his best work in you. You know that. You are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. God has put his hand on you like a potter does the clay. He is fashioning in you a brand new nature, a brand new image, and a brand new likeness, because you were originally created in the image and likeness of God. That image and likeness were disturbed, and God is bringing it back. We're going to take our call coming in from South Dakota. Always a faithful group of people. How are you all doing this morning, Ken and Kathy?
We are doing fine, thank you. And what I want to comment as far as what you brought up today, I don't necessarily pray for Trump, but I do pray for the leaders of our country, and he's included in that. I pray for his office because the man, I don't judge him. I go by what he says, not as an individual, but as his authority for the power that he carries for the United States.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I go along with that. And we do judge in the sense of, you know, when the character's not right, we maybe write a letter, say, hey, Mr. President, would you please, if you really feel that, believe it. So, but I get that. We prayed for him. So, Ken, did you hear? Was there impartation in your spirit today? Was there anything that moved you in your spirit today by what you heard?
Yes, as far as a lot, so much truth came out, and it hits my heart because of the fact that that's what we all need, and there's so many people that do not recognize that.
Well, praise God. Then if this whole program was for you, my dear brother, may the joy of the Lord capture you and take you into realms of glory in your spirit and in your relationship with God throughout this week and the days that lie ahead. God bless you, Ken. I appreciate it. We will be talking again very soon. What a dear man of God, Ken Brunzes. We're going to just bless the Lord. Now, listen, in just a minute, Patricia Joy Xavier is going to be coming on the airwaves. I've chosen a very special song for all of you. And here it is by my dear friend, Keith Green, because you know what he knew? He knew that Jesus was the one.
Show the way. radio with you. Oh, what a wonderful time we're beginning to have, understanding the kingdom of God coming upon this earth and within us and establishing its roots. And this is causing great warfare, but it wouldn't happen unless the enemy didn't rise up the way he did. But he is, because he knows his time is short. And therefore, we as Christians have to understand our position altogether. We no longer can just say, well, I'm a Christian with the meaning that I love Jesus Christ and I'm going to heaven. We have to learn how to become warriors in the times we're in. I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier, and today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And because of this particular subject that God gave me to continue to work with and work on for our personage and our betterment to be everything that God called us to be, we have to learn to become persons that renounce all things that are evil, in which we have knowingly allowed ourselves to be involved in. Now, I'm saying knowingly. And why am I saying this renunciation is important for deliverance? Because renunciation means to make a clean break from Satan's works within you. And you know, he is getting more and more serious in his warfare against us, against the body of Christ, against Christians. And of course, he's already taken a hold of a great deal of the world who works for him. And so we have to understand our position clearly, and we have to understand that deliverance in it means that we renounce all sin, and it's important that we learn how to command devils, a person in ourselves, to unlink ourselves or them by the authority of the name of Jesus. So we have to take the position of understanding what unlinking these demon spirits are all about, because they come in as a cluster. They have been involved with our generations past from the very foundation of the earth. They're coming in our direction as we go from generation to generation. And, you know, these devils are seldom found alone. They are always in groups. And when one devil is discerned, you should immediately look for its companions or lesser devils. And a group of devils is seemingly banded together for the purpose of controlling a particular area of your life or the person's life that is involved with this kind of warfare. And I dare say that most are, especially now, since there has been an unleashing of evil in this nation and in the world, all over the world. And in this nation, there is trouble. And the trouble is not ceasing. It's becoming deeper and deeper. And the more we stand up in this nation for righteousness, meaning President Trump, in doing what is right and making our nation a sovereign nation, the greater the warfare becomes, because Satan wants us down. We are the last bastion to stand. What I mean by standing is standing in freedom. And so because of that, Satan must take us down if he is going to control the world, in which it says that he does in will in Old and New Testament, and that we understand the working of warfare, that we become a mighty people, not so much a nation, but a mighty people, a kingdom people that will rise up mightily and have our effect all over the world and stand in a new and bright establishment that hasn't yet been perfected. And God is ready to do that. He's ready to open up the windows of heaven and pour us out such a blessing for those who believe that we cannot believe how wonderful it is. His power, his greatness, authority, his dominion is now being greatly perpetrated upon those that have established themselves in the truth, in the wisdom of God, in salvation. You know, this is so incredible. I don't know how to not continue on with it. But we do have indwelling demons and devils that want to come against this work. And they are always in groups. And when one devil is discerned, you should immediately look for his companions or lesser devils. They come in groups. They do warfare like any army would. In fact, it has been detailed on earth as it is in heaven. And they learned from heaven before they were tossed out of heaven for their rebellion. And these devils band together for the purpose of controlling particular areas of a person's life. And it's time we become aware of their wiles and how they operate in our life, in others' lives, so we get the victory, so we can stand strong in the hours that we are in, and soon they will become moments before the coming of the Lord. We want to be in right standing. And we want to understand how this works, that we will not be deceived in these hours. We will not be deceived in these days. And the groupings will have a strong man, and I'm talking about devils, and they will have ruling spirits. I want you to be aware of this. They are going to rise up stronger and stronger, and the Holy Spirit will alert you and direct you as to when and how to drive out these ruling spirits. In our experiences, in my experiences, sometimes the Holy Spirit has revealed the ruling spirit first when I have done deliverance. And in other times, he has revealed and directed me to drive out the lesser spirits first. And you have to be sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit's leading and always leave the deliverance procedure to him, not to methods or mythologies, things in which you have heard and learned. You must go by the word of God and the move of the Holy Spirit only. To be effective, this is imperative. Many have taught schools of mythology, meaning methods of how to cast out devils. But I tell you the truth, unless you understand what Jesus Christ himself did by reading the word, by studying the word, and how he went forth to cast out devils, then you're not going to understand truly by somebody else's reasoning. It has to be by what Jesus Christ did in Scripture. You have to learn, you have to read, you have to rise up in the Spirit to be able to perceive the work of deliverance that Jesus Christ did on this earth and said, we will do also, even greater. So that's where we stand today. And if we would believe the word of God, if we would move together as one people, we would have the victory we have desired to have. It will not be kept from us. It will be a blessing. It will be such an incredible work that we will be so pleased, so happy that God is moving so mightily within us to help others that desire Christ. You have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and always leave the deliverance procedure to him and him alone by listening as to his promptings and not just what you've seen before, heard before by another group. You have to learn to listen and watch carefully, using discernment as your guide. This gift of discernment is the greatest gift God gives us, knowing the difference between good and evil. What is evil? What is good? You say, well, anybody would know that. No, the deception is so great that it takes the work of the Holy Spirit to truly know the difference. We have to keep ourselves as vessel under the command of the Holy Spirit, I, sir. That's how it has to be. We are in the army, and we are in God's army. We are in the army of God. And with experience and through experience that I have had, I am convinced that the ruling spirits enter a person first, making way for lesser spirits to come in. In other words, the door is open. Come on, and familiar spirits from bloodline curses, familiar spirits that are coming in by the ruling spirits who have watched over your particular generations. He has been positioned for that, for every human being born in your generation. And so we have to understand that, in my opinion, I'm convinced that ruling spirits enter a person first and then make a way for the lesser spirits to come in, and it's easy go then. And so I wrote in my book in chapter 3 that we learned that all the ruling and lesser spirits have names. And we learned that by expression of individuals through deliverance, when they're going through a deliverance. And when devils are being driven out, you must command the ruling spirit by name to come out and take with it its lesser spirits, because it's the general over those demons that are in its army, the army of evil, the army of Satan. And there is a tendency among Christians to look for pat formulas, as I said earlier. And I want to assure you that you have best remain totally dependent on the leading of the Holy Spirit and no other, because in all the years of working in this ministry of deliverance, my husband and I have still been surprised at the cleverness of Satan. In fact, daily I'm becoming more and more surprised at the cleverness of Satan as he builds his strength in certain individuals who allow it. But they allow it because they have not understood what true deliverance is all about. And then Satan brings his hosts of demons. So rely upon the Holy Spirit. Follow his leading. If you do not do this and something goes wrong, fear could enter in. And you bear in mind that fear has no place in the serious work of deliverance. You cannot have its ugly head raised around and about you, because I've witnessed many different methods of deliverance, and I believe we are safer staying as close as possible to the methods used by Jesus and his apostles, as I just said. So bear in mind, has no place in the serious work of deliverance. It's in the mind. It must be taken care of. It must be cast out. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. You must know this. You must continue saying this to yourself as you're going through this deliverance. It's scripturally sound. It's powerful. It's an igniting of the Holy Spirit in you when you do so. Be careful to never get yourself into bondage through rules and reasons that have been formulated even within yourself. Stay free, stay open by the Holy Spirit so you may discern properly and rightfully. Don't think of what you've seen in the past, what you've done in the past. Every situation is brand new. Satan is getting more and more clever, more and more deceptive. You have to be on guard. And you have to allow the technique of this work to be instructed by the Holy Spirit. So we want to conclude that the technique of deliverance must always, always, always be led by the perfect work of the Holy Spirit within us. And this is where our success will be seen. And this is where certain techniques of instruction by the Holy Spirit will have great effect. And sometimes the deliverance is done by the laying on of hands, not always just speaking, but the laying on of hands. Why? Why? Because we have at least two instances in the scriptures of the laying on of hands. First is the healing of Peter's mother-in-law in Luke 4:39. We are told that Jesus rebuked the fever. He treated the fever as a personality. We have to become aware of how this works. This indicates that the fever was demonic. And the parallel account in Matthew 8:15 says, "And he touched her hand, and the fever left her." That simple. That simple. Some in deliverance go on and on and on, saying over and over and over again the same thing, meaning the same thing. And this is repetition that is unnecessary. Once we begin to understand the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, we speak a word, it is done. But if we don't believe it's done, we're going to have to go on and on with repetition, because that enforces our own belief. We have to be prepared beforehand. We have to be fasting. We have to be praying. When I say we have to be, it is not like this is going to be such a hard thing, such a hard rule. We're going to do this because we delight in seeing people set free and ourselves set free. There's no greater beauty, in my estimation, than to see people set free. When I see people in bondage, it breaks my heart. I just don't know where to go with it. It's like, God, help me to get this person set free. Look at the kind of bondage they're in. Look at the suffering they go through. They just don't get it. They don't understand warfare. And why don't they? What's holding them back from it? Pride. Pride. Because of the things that have taken place within their lives. Their hurts so deep. The bondage so severe. Pride has taken a stand within their soul. The spirit that they have been given must recognize this. And when I say the spirit they have been given, I mean the spirit that they have received, the Holy Spirit in their spirit, must recognize this. Pride takes a stand. It's stubborn. It's so unmovable. It is so bitter, so hateful, so full of pride. And that is the characteristic of Satan himself. He's prideful. He's arrogant. He's filled with bitterness against God's people because of the freedom that they have been given, and that he can't take them under their control. So he does everything he can to establish his own personality and characteristics upon them. And it happens through brokenness. Constantly the same affliction over and over again. The brokenness within their hearts, the individual hearts from their experiences. Soon as they come into this world, is at work. And it's already looked upon by familiar spirits before the birth has even been made. And these individuals that have been so torn, so broken, come to Christ, but they have a hard time getting the victory because they don't see their pride. And if they don't make a choice to deal with it, it continues to build and to work against their life until they're in such despair, they will turn away and walk in the other direction. So let's get back to healing. Sometimes we do that. We lay hands on the individuals. And this indicates that there is a power coming from you or myself, the one that is doing this, to cast out that spirit and give it trouble. You know, the parallel in Matthew 18:15, where Jesus touched her hand and the fever just left her. That was due to another situation. These other situations of sickness is because of the great despair of a lack of freedom within one's soul. It cannot handle so much of the constant vexation. And slowly, but surely through the years, as one particularly gets older, it begins to do its work of destruction through sickness and disease. But Jesus touched the mother-in-law, just touched her hand, the laying on of hands, and that fever left her. It left her and went in another direction. A second instance of touching or laying hands on a person for deliverance is in the case of the woman in Scripture who was bowed down by a spirit of infirmity. And if you study Scripture, you'll see that the spirit of infirmity is consistent in the need for multitudes of people to be delivered. We read in Luke 13:11-13, it says it this way: "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. This was a bowed down. She was bowed down together and could in no wise lift herself." In other words, she was so humped over, so bowed over, that she couldn't lift herself up. She would look around from being totally, totally bent. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And he laid hands on her after he said it. And immediately she was made straight. And she stood up straight and she began to glorify God. But it is not always necessary to lay hands. It is not always necessary to lay hands on people that are vexed with sickness, disease, but it is sometimes the right thing to do. The Holy Spirit will tell you. And then sometimes we simply speak to the devils without touching the person and command them to come out. And then other times we have been led to assist the person during deliverance to cast out of themselves the demonic presence in the name of Jesus. So there's different methods and ways, and we just clearly have to listen in and to the Holy Spirit's work and see exactly what the Holy Spirit wants us to know in it. And people, I'm telling you, the time is short. We must learn. We must learn how to do these things. And, you know, again, I am telling you that the reason I wrote this book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, is to give you instructions on what to do, not only for your own life, but for others that are bound by Satan. Perhaps you know people in the workplace. Perhaps you know people in the church. Perhaps you see someone on the street. Perhaps you're shopping and the Lord reveals to you that that person needs to be delivered from sickness and disease of some sort. The book I wrote will help you understand how to exactly do that according to the way we were taught by the Word of God. Not by man's imagination, but by the Word of God and by the work of the Holy Spirit, not only in Jesus Christ, but in the apostles, and so in us who believe. For in Mark 16:13, it says, or 17, it says clearly that the believers shall cast out devils. So here you are. Are you a believer? Do you believe in this work? Or do you think this is for the time of Jesus and that time alone? Well, when do believers stop? I hope that believers have been born to this earth became believers for the last 2,000 years, and they're still believers on this earth. I hope that's the situation. In fact, I know that's the situation. And you see, we at other times have been led to assist a person for deliverance, and then given them the book so that they can learn for themselves how to go forth, how to continue on. Folks, this is a great work. It's a great work of salvation. And it's time you get the book if you haven't. You can order it on Amazon. Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights is the title. I am Patricia Joy Xavier, Patricia Xavier. Either way, you could use my name to be assured that this is the correct book, and then order it and start reading it. And when you're through reading it, give it to another, that they too may learn the work of deliverance. And I know there are other books written about it, but God gave me this particular way of presenting deliverance and calling it the Christian Bill of Rights, because it is our right to become deliverers. And the Bible tells us that there will be deliverers on Mount Zion. And in that work, it will be during the latter days, even stronger than ever before, because the enemy is stronger than ever before. And going back to deliverance, I have experienced times when the Holy Spirit moved as he willed, leaving me on the sidelines with my mouth open. I was once among a group of praying women and was led to cast out a particular devil of torment from a woman in the group. And when, to my surprise, there was a loud shriek from another woman, not the one that I was praying over. And the woman was violently thrown to the floor and lay there before me, slithering like a snake. Well, to my amazement, because it wasn't the way I was directing my thoughts, I was pretty shocked. I didn't know what to do. But then I felt the urge by the Holy Spirit to quickly move on and to command the devil to come out of her and flee from our presence, those that were there, and her, in the name of Jesus. It happened. This was my first encounter. They did. The demons did. And I want you to know, this taught me a powerful lesson. When you are commanding a devil to come out of a person while in the presence of a group, you may be speaking to more than one devil, more than one situation of demonic trespassing. And this has proved to be very helpful to me in understanding what can occur in group meetings. There is more that my book will tell you if you would get it. I'm through with my teaching for today, but if you have my book, you can learn daily on what to do. Take a paragraph a day if need be. And it would be wonderful too if you would be so giving to the work that is being done on Omega Radio Station, and that you would help in this work. You would become a partner in this work. You would partner with us for $20. I will then send you my book as a gift from us. So where to partner, where to send a $20 check or money order or whatever way you desire to do so, send it to P.O. Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722, under the name of Pastor Vincent Xavier. We will get that, and we will bring the radio station even into a greater place and position in the work that we are doing in the world today. And you will be that partner with us, and you will receive blessings from it. Believe me, you will learn, and you will be sore blessed. So I want to, at this time, say goodbye. I'm thankful to be able to speak to you about this, because it's the most important thing we can do at this time. God bless you. Be restored and be made whole and be delivered.